It's okay to shoplift. Says Tim Jones, parish priest of St. Louis and St. Hilda. He told his congregation in York, North England, "My advice," and here's the quote, "my advice as a Christian priest is to shoplift." And that is according to a CNN report from December 22nd of 2009. He didn't stop there. He explained a little bit. That way it's, you know, ethical, right? Quote again, "I do not offer such advice because I think that stealing is a good thing." Okay. "Or because I think it is harmless, for it is neither. I would ask that they do not steal from a small family business." Ooh. A thief with ethics, right? "But from large national businesses, knowing that the costs ultimately are passed on to the rest of us in the form of higher prices." Okay, anybody confused yet? Turn with me to Proverbs 30, verse 9. I just want to see if mine's reading correctly. Proverbs 30, verse 9, "Otherwise I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord?" Here's where it really meets, the rubber meets the road. "Or I may become poor and steal." Okay, all right, so if you're poor, you can steal. Oh, wait, there's more. "And so dishonor the name of my God." Dishonor is a negative context, and especially tied to God. So stealing is not the way to go. One more time, let's go to Exodus 20:15. That's, you know, the longest, that's about the shortest sermon scripture verse that you're ever going to have. You hear Exodus 20, you immediately think Ten Commandments, okay? So just take the 20 and divide it by 2, right? Exodus 20:15 says, "You shall not steal." Right? Everybody else's Bible says that. I'm not the only one. No? Okay. All right, so I'm not quite on par, on task, on same mindset as Tim Jones. I don't quite understand where he comes up with that. I think ultimately it was about, rather than anyone from his parish starving, that they would, you know, find ways to get food and stealing would be okay. Isn't that what the church would be for? Anyway, just thoughts, sorry, okay. So here we go. It's not really okay to steal. I mean, that's one of the 10, okay? I want to look through that as we go through here. So as defined in Merriam-Webster, to steal, or if we're stealing, it's to take the property of another wrongfully and especially as habitual or a regular practice. Okay? All right, so who in here identifies as a thief? Anybody? No, you're not going to own up to that, are you? Otherwise, everybody would be like, grabbing their purse, their coat, holding it tight. We're not a thief, are we? We haven't committed robbery, kidnapping, shoplifting, the old five-finger discount. Identity theft, who is assumed to be someone else? Is the camera on? Okay, don't raise it too high. Employee theft. What does that mean? Well, according to the FBI, employee theft is the fastest growing crime in America. You can do that in a couple of different ways. You can steal time from your employer, right? They pay you for your time to work, right? We can steal goods from our employers. Okay, that one you probably a little easier to understand. That new box of paper clips that you needed at home that you maybe took home from work. I don't know, just ask your boss, hey, it was okay, I took those, right? Probably be like, you what? How about this, fraud? You know, a deception so that you yourself can have some personal gain or to damage another person or business or whatever the case. Insurance fraud, I mean, that's the one that probably jumps to mind. How about telemarketing? Yeah, there's fraud there too. Everybody's looking to get your money dishonestly as they can, because they usually get more. Email fraud. Political fraud. All right. I debated on leaving this one out, but how about taking or stealing another one's purity? Is that stealing? So if you were to engage in sex before marriage, that is taking something that doesn't belong to you. You can say that they gave it to you, but if it's before marriage, both were given away before it was time. It was not truly also just theirs to give away. And consider this. You've not only just stolen it from that person, and this is something that cannot be replaced. No way, no how. You've also stolen it from that person's future spouse. And that person had no say at the time. Just consider that. Cheating on tests, right? Nobody's ever done that in here. Nope, never ever. Not once. Nope. Cheating on taxes. Anybody from the IRS in here? Okay, it's safe. If you have, now's the time to confess. Matthew 22:21 says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Okay. When you have to present a lot and you have to read a lot of people's work, then you write reports or speeches or sermons. How about plagiarism? So it's defined as using close imitation of the language and thoughts of another author and the representation of them as their own original work. Okay, I got to confess, everything to this point, I have been convicted by Dr. Spann. I've been reading some of his work recently. So as much as you are not liking me for bringing these things up, and I promise it's going to get worse, Dr. Spann had a lot to do with it, so we're going to blame him too. But really, he went straight to God's word. So plagiarism, he brought a lot of this to me as far as it's challenged me. So I understand, you know, what it is to try and steal from, you know, basically the person next to you or someone in the church that's down the road, because you wouldn't steal from your own church family, right? How about this? Consider that Joe Biden dropped out of the presidential race against Bill Clinton for plagiarizing after he used passages from British Labour Party leader Neil Kinnock in one of his speeches, and he did not attribute them to Kinnock. Okay. Well, that's not okay. That's plagiarism, right? Dr. Ben Carson's, in his book, America the Beautiful, used works from two different historians. He didn't fully cite them. He just kind of referenced them early in the book, but never truly attributed to which sections were truly theirs and to the rightful people. And then how about, I decided to stay political on this, John Walsh and Rand Paul, they're both senators. Both sides of the aisle, this is equal opportunity. They both were caught in plagiarism. We have the reference there from the U.S. News and World Report about Joe Biden, and then from the WashingtonPost.com article that I found for the other more recent references. Here's the other thing I'll give you this. This is from here till the end of time for me. If it's good, I probably didn't do it. That's it. Do not attribute it to me. And if it did come from me and it's good, it came from God, because otherwise it's going to get messed up. So here we go. We're continuing on. Sorry, a little guilty on that one. You know, my hands, I didn't cite always as I should. I'm working on that. How about copyright theft? Okay, this one I had to think about a little bit. Downloading music and movies on the internet without paying fees or without permissions from the owner, that's copyright theft. The same is true in copying CDs to give to friends. How about stealing music and lyrics and such and videos from YouTube? We've had that discussion as a church. We are trying to stay on top of that. What is okay to do? How is it okay to do those things? Do we need to have a subscription to something? That's something we are concerned about. How about failure to pay debts? Okay, it's stealing, right? Okay, now, you don't have to say which one. Anybody guilty yet? Any of these? Okay, there are a few thieves in here. Thank you for joining me. There are many more ways that we can steal. Okay? If you haven't raised your hand yet, just wait. Service doesn't end until everybody raises their hand. By the end of this, I think we're going to wish we would have stayed talking about stealing from the world. Dr. Spann shared that there is a theology of stealing. See, if you talk words like that, you know it's not from me. And here's what he says. Whether you know it or not, there is a theology that underlies stealing. And he breaks it into two parts. I cannot trust in God's provision. Therefore, I will take whatever I want or need when I want to and how I want to. That's one of the ways you steal from God. That is the way that you steal from God. I do not love other people. This is the second part. Therefore, I will take what God has given to them so I can have it. I want it, not them. They don't need it. So he continues and he says, think about it for a moment. Those two underlying theological premises are in diametric opposition to the great commands that Jesus gave. Okay, I like his quote. These are absolutely opposite to what we're about to read in Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. You probably already know it. You just don't know it. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 through 31. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And love others as yourself. For all the law and the prophets rest on these two. So out of those two important theological principles, there are some things that we can learn from that Dr. Spann shares. This one, it took me a lot of thought to come up with and wrap my mind around this. Private property is a biblical concept. Right? But the first church they shared and everything was everyone's. Private property is a biblical concept. And if you think about it, if we're going to steal from God, doesn't have to be his if we're going to take it? I mean, otherwise it's not stealing, right? So the right to private property, it originated not with an economic system, but it originated with God himself. It is from his authority. Therefore, if we understand there is such things as private property, be it intellect or goods or monetary, we need to respect that private property, especially of others. We must return anything that we have taken, provided you can actually return it, or we must make restitution. Genesis 2, chapter 2, verse 15, and the Lord God took the man, and he put him in the Garden of Eden to dress and keep it. That's King James Version. All right, so he put a dress on the Garden of Eden and flower over the ear. No. NIV, the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. Genesis chapter 2, what's that reference to us? The beginning, right? That's what we reference. Chapter 2, guess what that's before? Sin. Chapter 2 is before sin, and it's already referencing that Adam and Eve, man and woman, were going to be created to do what? Steal? No, that just came after. They're created to work. God wants us, he designed us to work, to carry out his tasks, not to steal. It's from the hard work that we do that we find, Adam and Eve were supposed to be productive. Their jobs were already lined out for them. And again, it was not because of sin that work came about, even though work is a bad word. The hard work that we do, it gives us the opportunity to share with others, to care for and meet their needs, to accomplish God's own purposes. You can find a reference for that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. There's an author, an evangelic Christian author, Jerry Bridges, and he made an observation. He made three observations about attitudes toward possessions. The first says, what's yours is mine, I'll take it. Obviously, that's the attitude of the thief. The second says, what's mine, well, it's mine. And since we're selfish by nature, the attitude of most people is right there. The third attitude, boy, that's one that's hard. The godly attitude says, what's mine is God's, and I will share it. Those are pretty astute observations, I believe. So as we understand that it is a commandment not to steal, we can understand that it's not right to steal from those around us. It's not right to take what's not ours. Remember how I said if you haven't raised your hand? Well, here's the other list. Dr. Spann shared some things. I don't think I hit on all of them, but probably more than I ever wanted to. And one is more than I want to. We steal from God, he says, when we fail to give him our worship. Our worship belongs to God. There are a couple of references. I won't read them all, but you can go to 1 Chronicles 16, 27, 28. The one that I wanted to read this morning is Psalm 95, 6. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. If he made us, don't we owe him some worship? We steal from God when we do not give our tithes to him. We've heard that one, but it's true. Malachi 3, verses 7 through 9. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? And the reply is, in tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. We steal from God when we receive his saving grace and then do not tell others about him. Have you considered that? If we've received God's saving grace and we're not out there sharing that, it's the same as putting it in a rabbit hole, pigeonholing, burying it in the backyard. That classifies as theft because it's not ours to hold tight and close. It's ours to share. Reference from a letter from Paul to the Corinthians in his second letter, chapter 5, verses 11 through 21. Since then you know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves, and we're not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but you are giving us an opportunity to take pride in us because, and so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who would live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died in them and was raised again. So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. It's 2019. It's new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Paul got it. You get this thing, this grace from God, you do anything except share it, and you're stealing. We steal from God when we don't use the gifts and talents that he has given us to honor and glorify him. And we're to use those to share and minister to others. 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. How about this? We steal from God when we fail to use our time wisely. Guilty. Guilty. If we don't use it wisely, we don't use it for his glory. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Courtesy of Psalm 90, verse 12. You can also see Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16, and Colossians 4, verse 5. How about this? We steal from God when we claim ownership of what we have, instead of acknowledging that it's actually from God. 1 Chronicles 29:14, Psalm 24, 1. But here's from 1 Chronicles I want to read. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Our tithes are his to start with. We steal from God when we fail to bring glory to God. You know, kind of like stealing the thunder. It's his. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7, Proverbs 30, verse 9. And here's from Isaiah. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made, yeah, we're to give him his glory. Anybody guilty yet? Remember, I said everybody doesn't raise your hand, we keep going. Oh, okay, all right. You're testing, I see. I assure you that we could keep on going. Every last one of us, if we truly thought about it, our hands are up. If not for this world, then for God. But if we did it for this world, we did it against God, right? I read a story, and I'm going to try and summarize this. And I don't know. I didn't understand that it would pertain until, well, it did. Or at least I think so. Sandy and Rick, a very busy couple preparing for Christmas and going to their daughter's house that evening for supper, they had many last-minute items to acquire and many to prepare. They both went to the store together, and Sandy went to get, well, that last item that she had to have that was requested, that dessert that her daughter wanted her to bring over. The one she was known for, you know those? So her and her husband were at the store. She made it to the aisle, went to the shelf. It's not there. The one thing she needed, not there. She's already rushed, she's already busy. You know what that means? It's not on the shelf. She gets to go to another store. And busy didn't, or a rush, didn't even begin to describe how she felt now. As Rick and Sandy approach, so they're going to the checkout line, they notice the lines were backed up. They get there, they stand in line. You've done this. Tell me you haven't. If you say you haven't, so help me. You get in this line, you're like, oh gosh, which one do we choose? All right, well, I can't get to that one without, like, knocking people over. So, all right, here we go. So then you start to check people out. You're like, okay, what's going on? How long is this going to take? You're surveying it, right? Sandy is looking at this line surveying. She's looking at the people like, oh, wow, they're a little upset. Looks at the next person. Not any better. Looks again. Arms crossed. Then she looks up. Oh, there's this cute old couple there. Feeble. And they've all of a sudden had to ask for a price check. She's in a rush, right? Not now. Sandy, she kept her cool. All right. So while they were in line, she had surveyed all this, and then she started making a plan with her husband. Okay, after this, I'm going to drop you off by home. Then I'm going to head back out. I'm going to go to the other store, Albertsons, and I'll pick up. I know they're going to have it. She goes and gets that item, gluten-free pretzels. Yep, the special pretzels for her strawberry and pretzel dessert. That's what it was. So she makes her way to Albertsons. Husband's dropped off at home. Everything's good. She gets to that store. She parks. She goes in. She's in a hurry. She's in a rush. No cart, no basket. She goes. She gets her thing. Ooh, I could probably use that too. That, oh my gosh, I better get that. She's got her own arm slightly loaded. Makes her way up to the checkout. It's kind of busy. Not quite as bad as the other store. It's like, huh, all right. Surveying the line again. All right, so, all right. How long till we get out of here? Guess who she spots at the front of the checkout? The old couple. They had out their stamp collection book because Albertsons, I think it was for every $10 you purchase, you get a stamp, right? And we can think of some stores that do things like that. They're counting out their stamps. They'd made their purchase. They had a purchase too. But they just didn't quite have enough. So the lady was trying to put her couple of stamps there in her book, and it was, the transaction was done. So the clerk asked, I'm sorry, folks, but can I ask that we can get the other people moving through? And they did. So they headed out the door, but Sandy could see the disappointment on their face. She had understood that there was a reference that they didn't quite have enough stamps for what they were going for. And Sandy at that moment realized, I'm not in a rush anymore. She slowed down. She started paying attention more and more to the situation. After they had left, yes, the line picked up speed. She made her way out. It was her plan. Remember, she's going in for one item. She came out with four stamps. I'll let you do the math on that. She had four stamps. She's like, you know what? I want to give my stamps to that couple. She was hoping that she would make it out of the store in time to catch the couple before they left, made it out of the parking lot. She did. She made it out of the store. They were parked in the handicapped spot. She made her way to the car, and she tried to do her best not to frighten them. And, hi, I couldn't help but see that, you know, maybe you're a couple stamps shy, and I don't come here super frequent. She offered her stamps. She had four stamps. The lady that received the stamps, her eyes got wide, and she looked over to her husband, and she announced that they now had the number of stamps that they needed to get the Christmas gift they wanted to get for their daughter. Sandy was starting to get it. Wasn't there yet, but she was starting to get it. She was glad to have helped. So glad to have helped. She made her way to her car, got in her car. She had to drive down the aisle, right? Then make sure you have to go back by the store again. Wherever you park, it all funnels back in front of the store. Well, good thing she wasn't in a rush, because that old couple got out of their car, was headed back in the store to get the very Christmas gift that they now had enough stamps for. It was at that moment that Sandy had tears fill her eyes as she realized all that God had done in her day. She seen and she understood God's fingerprints were there all the way through that entire day. And she understood what it was to not steal from God. she understood that her time was God's anyway, and she found the way to use it. She had every opportunity throughout that day and came close, as I'm sure most of us have. If not you, then me. Come close enough to allowing our time to have been stolen from God, and we take away what time we owe to Him. She used that time to reflect back. I'd be remiss to not mention that if you ever want to become better at stealing and taking things that aren't yours, there is a master that you can learn from. One that's so good, you might not even know he's stealing from you every chance he gets. Satan. As it says in John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and may have it more abundantly. And that's from Jesus. But Satan wants to steal your life, my life. He wants us to not have eternity. If we're going to understand what it is about stealing, that we can steal from man, that we can steal from God, well, we can certainly have things stolen from us as well. Jesus wants to give us eternal life. Satan wants to keep us from that. He wants to steal us away from that opportunity. So consider this. Would you rather follow that of which a person who wants to steal life or that who wants to give life? So here is where Sandy's at. Sandy was so close to stealing from God, so close to allowing an ultimate thief, a swindler, to take away her moments to glorify and to worship God. But as the tears filled her eyes, she took that opportunity in her car, and she worshiped and she glorified God. Hopefully we can use the moments of our everyday to make sure that we're not stealing our time, we're not stealing the glory from God, that we recognize it's all His. Think back on the last year in 2018. What did we take? In 2019, let's consider, what can we give? What has God given us? If you will, feel free to join me for our pastoral prayer time, and you can join us at the altar, but if you'll bow with me now. Heavenly Father, we come before you guilty. We understand this is not a court of law per se, but yet we understand we're guilty. We come before you now, opening our hearts. Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to intervene, to convict us. Father, that we can conform ourselves to you. That we can follow the example that your Son has set before us. Father, that we can stop stealing. Help us, Father, that we can be those that are givers. Father, help us to follow the giver of life and not to follow the leader that steals. Father, we pray for those who are not with us due to sickness and illness. Father, we miss them greatly. For those who we're continuing to pray for treatments, and Father, we pray for their healing. We pray for their strength. Father, we pray for their comfort. And we pray ultimately that they know they're loved by you as well as us. Heavenly Father, for others who are out on vacation and travel and things like that, of fun times, Father, we're grateful that they get to enjoy those. But Father, we pray that we can be reunited with them and worship and praise your name together with them again. Father, we ultimately want you to be glorified. We don't want to steal your thunder any longer. Father, we pray for this new year that we can be yours, that we can be used to give, to share. And Father, as we have a project before us, help us to recognize the new opportunities and those ministries that you'll have us to carry out and the new facilities that are under construction. Father, we want you to be at the upfront foremost of anything and everything, especially the new building. It's not anything about the building, Father, but it's about ways that we can serve, love, and honor and glorify your name. Help us to be ready to do that all year long. We love you and thank you in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll stand and sing with me our closing song. If you'll bow with me as we head out. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning in this new year. Father, we know it's really not new to you. Father, may we take reassurance in that. Father, I would love to say at this time that every last one of us will no longer steal another thing from you or from anyone else. But right there, I'd be telling a lie. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will work within us through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we can become more aware of those times that we're actually guilty. Heavenly Father, it's going to hurt. It's going to be hard. But Father, we know to conform ourselves to your Son and his ways, we know it's necessary. May we be ready to firmly stand when we're wrong and take what's ours to take. But Father, we understand that you are truly a friend of a sinner, which every one of us is. We are sinners. But Father, you want to bring us back to you, that we can be remediated. Help us to grow. By this time next year, can we see that we've made progress? Father, that we have minimized our theft of you and from you. May we be ready to impact this world, showing them you, your love, and your salvation. It's only by your power that we can even come close to doing anything positive. May you be glorified. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.